Welcome to the podcast of St. Basil the Great Catholic Church in Brecksville, Ohio, with homilies, talks, and interviews relevant to your Catholic faith. God bless you and enjoy.
Can I start?
You could start.
Okay. I like starting.
Are you going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart?
I've thought about it several times. So tell me when to begin.
You can start.
Just right now?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Father Ryan here, and I'm here back with our digital evangelization expert, Lisa. And as many of you know, the last time we were together, she shared her story. And I've heard from so many of you just how moving it was and how grateful you are that she's a part of the team here at St. Basil's. And I have a little bit of sad news. For as much as you like her, she'll also be ending her time here in June. Is that right, Lisa?
This is probably my last podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, that happened real fast.
Not a one-hit wonder. Yeah. Just kidding.
Going out on a low note. All right. But she's leaving because her husband serves our country. He's in the military, and he's got a prestigious role. He'll be a professor at West Point. And so that means Lisa, as many of you got to see and know her, she has to pack up all of her costumes and outfits. And how many dogs do you guys have?
Three dogs.
And you'll be moving. Is it in New York? Is that where Westwood is?
But according to the military, we only have two.
Oh, in case you're listening, Uncle Sam, one of them's someone else's. They're just helping.
They're just helping.
Yeah. We all go in jail. Thanks, Lisa. So Lisa, tell us a little bit about that move. When will you be leaving St. Basil's? When will you be moving to New York? Catch us up on that.
Yeah. Anthony's first day of work will be July 8th, which was a lot sooner than we anticipated. So we'll probably be packing up in June. So mom and dad, please clear your schedule.
Nice. Yeah. And so just so you know, we already have hired her successor. Her name is Carrie Regan. She currently works for the diocese in the youth ministry office, but she's has a lot of different ministry experiences in parish settings. And so she'll be a nice complementary role to what Lisa's already got started here. But just wanted to catch people up on Lisa's life. And so today, this podcast, though, is we wanted to give you a little opportunity to reflect on, prepare, not just maybe on your calendar, but even in your heart and mind for this gigantic solar eclipse event that's going to be coming on Monday, April 8th here to the Cleveland area. We are one of the main areas in the United States. And so we wanted to talk to you a little about that. Eclipse of the Heart, my favorite song.
That's right. No, yeah. Right. The Path of Totality. The last time this happened was over 200 years ago, so I learned this morning. And the next one will not be until 2444 in Cleveland for the total path.
Really?
Yeah. I will be 454 years old.
I bet you'll be great. Going spry.
Yeah, I hope so. Cartwheels and everything.
So this is this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, once-in-a-generation, really. And so hopefully on Monday, all of you are thinking about it. So just some facts to let you know. I'm sure you've heard a little bit about it. These are vague times, but like from about 1:15 to about 4:30 is when you'll experience the eclipsing of the sun, if you will. And also, you know, there's lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. This is a solar eclipse, which means the moon goes in between the earth and the sun. And it will be on Monday during that time period. And just so that we can all be safe, do not look at it with your eyeballs alone. You need special glasses. Do your normal sunglasses work? Good question. No, they don't. You need special glasses. They can be bought in most places, or you can go online and they teach you how to make some. I'm not going to be making one, but so that's NASA recommends that you buy special sunglasses for this, and it should last for a couple hours, and you'll experience at one point like night in the middle of the day.
Totality.
When you say totality, what do you mean by that? That's your favorite word today so far. It's like Sesame Street. Totality is the word of the day for Lisa.
It is. My Toastmasters word of the day is totality. The moon will block the sun for a total of 4 minutes.
Totally?
Mm-hmm. Totality.
Yes. Yeah. So it will be dark. And here's something neat to realize is actually all of nature in Cleveland will react as if it's night. So you might be able to hear crickets, all right, although it's a little cold still, but you would normally, if it was summertime, you'd be able to hear crickets. Some animals will freeze in their spots because they know at nighttime they're usually taking shelter. So actually nature responds as if it's like a 2 a.m. kind of experience because they are so wrapped up into the rhythms and law of creation that all of creation responds to light and darkness, and it will be happening in an odd time.
Wow, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Truman Show?
Yes.
Okay. Remember, like, he starts messing with the times of the day and the sun coming up? That's what I think of when I think of eclipses. But
Now I'll be thinking of that.
Yeah, if no one's seen that movie, it's okay. It's a good movie to watch, though. A couple more fun facts about it is that they're expecting around 50 times the amount of people who watch the Super Bowl to be involved in trying to see the eclipse, which is just mind-blowing. I feel like that stat's exaggerated, but that's what I read this morning. They're saying around 50 times the amount of people who are plugged into the Super Bowl, and they weren't clear if they meant attend it or watch it. I'm assuming attend, because the amount of people who watch it's unbelievable. But that amount of people are getting in cars and driving or trying to go places. So on Monday, April 8th, if you're somewhere in the Cleveland area, like, why is all this traffic happening? You might notice it because your car lights have turned on and you're in eclipse, and that's why they're here to see it.
And they did say for Cleveland, imagine yourself all of the major league sports games going on in addition to the St. Paddy's Day parade traffic. So all
of St. Paddy's, it's April.
Well, I know, but like imagine
That amount of people.
All of the traffic from all the major leagues games going on at the same time in addition to the St. Paddy's Day in one.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And
but what are you going to be doing for the eclipse?
Do you think they want to know?
Everybody wants to know.
Everybody. How fun. Okay. Well, then since everybody wants to know. So there's a priest in our diocese who has a house out in Huron. And he's having several priests out there for a viewing party, if you will. So a bunch of priests will go out to Huron area and we'll spend the afternoon or day together and just kind of celebrating the eclipse like a bunch of New Agers.
Yeah. What does...
Actually, two priest friends from Detroit are going to come down, spend the night with me Sunday night, and then drive with me out there.
So what's that like, having a gathering of priests experiencing a totality? I don't know, an eclipse.
Yeah, well, no, totality. Well, here's the thing. If you remember, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It hasn't happened for a long time, so we don't know what it's going to be like when all the priests get together to do it. But I can tell you, when priests get together, it's one of the most fun experiences. In Cleveland, we have an amazing priest brotherhood, and we get along really well, and at least most of us do. We're like a family. Go figure. Yeah, I really – in fact, it was part of priests seeing the priesthood. It's called the presbyterate, all the priests in a diocese. The presbyterate of Cleveland, it's part of being around them and seeing them that my own vocation was born in me. My vocation didn't come, at least initially or for a long time, through a deep moment of prayer. It really came from being around priests. I just felt very much like this is where I'm meant to be. So to be around them and we're hanging out, having a good time, different ages, retired, older, younger, it's a lot of fun. It'll be a good time.
Well, good.
Yeah. So here's something about, you might not know though, at least about the church and astronomy and stuff like this, is that the Vatican has several astronomy locations throughout the world where they follow the moons, the stars, the planets, for et cetera. There's one in Arizona. That's the one in the United States. Okay. But the head astronomer is from Detroit, and he's a Jesuit just like Pope Francis, and he lives in Italy at the head observatory out there. But he'll be coming in town to the United States to watch it as well. And he was interviewed, actually. So they were asking him. And the reason it's important that you know that we have observatories and astronomy and science is that old, exhausted, absolutely irrational narrative that somehow science and faith don't go together. We spend time, money, and energy to understand the movement of the stars and planets in our galaxy. Like, we're involved in all of that. And so this one, he's a brother in the Jesuit order. He's not a priest. His name escapes me right now, but every time I see it, I'm like, I'll never pronounce that right. He's kind of a quirky guy. Every time he's interviewed, go on YouTube and just type in Vatican astronomer. He's got kind of goofy hair and, oh man, he's a lot of fun.
He's on brand.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. But he was asked about the eclipse and he just said, what can people learn from this? Or what can people take away? What's the big idea? He goes, and he said, I'm softening a little bit because he just speaks however he wants, but that there's something beyond our little worries. And this is really a good point, is that we're going to gather over something we have no control of. It doesn't pay your bills. It's not going to solve political issues. And yet people are going to carve out days and times, stop and stare, with sunglasses on, of course, special ones, stop and stare at something beyond them. Something that's way beyond, nothing. It's not within our grasp. It's not a cell phone. It's not a friend you can hug. It's not a bill you can pay. It's not a job you can do work at. You're just beholding something beyond you. And it's just a great reminder, he says, of just not being so wrapped up in ourselves, that God created us to be a part of this whole galaxy, this whole creation that we haven't yet found the limits of it. It's so vast and big. And yet of all of creation, the only creature he cares about, like infinitely so, is you. Like, so it's amazing all this is, like, and you're the one he became like and suffered and died and rose so that you could have hope and new beginnings. And but it's a way to stop and say, oh, there's something bigger than my worries in this world. There's something more to life. And I think that's just a super important, easy takeaway from this whole thing.
So would you say that's the overlap between then the spiritual dimension and the eclipse?
I'd say there's several. That's certainly one of them, is just the meaningfulness of reflection on creation. That creation, we don't control the laws of creation. We discover them and work with them. But like, no one was like, all right, I'm going to speed up the speed of the moon so that it can cover the sun on April 8th. That way they can have this thing. Like, we're not in charge of that. So this is a sense in which we are a part of a finely tuned instrument called creation. But we didn't create it, but someone did. And the reason we know they did is because it's intelligible. We can predict where it was going to happen and when. So creation is made in such a way that we can actually think about it. In fact, Pope Benedict said, a good word for understanding science is the word recognition. We recognize. This is getting a little nerdy here. But so creation was first cognated, that is to be thought into being by a divine mind. So when we think about creation, we're recognizing the patterns of God, what he's put in there. And so that's what astronomers and people have done to let us know on April 8th from about 1:15 to 4:30, this, what kind of eclipse?
Totality.
Eclipse of totality will take place. Yeah. So that's part of it. You know, and I would say another spiritual impact to this would be in the mystical tradition of our church, the moon is seen as the Blessed Mother. And the reason this is the case is the moon doesn't have light of its own. So at night, when you look up, you see the moon, it's just reflecting the light of the sun. And so Mary isn't intrinsically holy in the sense of she did it on her own. She just perfectly reflects the light of her divine son. She kind of radiates from her. So here we have Mary, the moon, and Jesus, the son, S-O-N and S-U-N, right, coming to be one. And it is such a oneness that all of creation kind of is orbiting around it. Everything in our world is stopping and looking up. And there's kind of a real profound sense of like an understanding of Marian devotion. When you get close to Mary, you're being led into the mystery of the sun and all of creation and the purpose of life, and that you aren't the center of everything, and that's actually peaceful and freeing, not miserable and sad. And so there's some meditations there about Mary and Jesus and them becoming together. And then also the sense that as the moon covers the sun, the reason we need special sunglasses is it actually has a way of intensifying the rays of the sun. And when that happens, we need special glasses because it can have an effect on us. So Marian devotion can actually bring us into the heart of the power of the sun. And so there's some beautiful ways to reflect on the role of Jesus and Mary together and how all of us look to them. And in looking to them, guess what happens? We're coming together as a humanity. We're not being broken apart in camps and divisions. But we're being brought together as we look to Jesus and Mary. And there's awe and wonder. So we're becoming like children again. So the fruits of looking to Jesus and Mary is togetherness, awe, joy, freedom, peace, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So there are some different layers you could certainly reflect on. And I wouldn't say this is us putting something out of creation necessarily as much as if the God of the universe made creation with this meaning, we're recognizing it from a perspective of faith. We're coming to recognize this is what God may be saying to us.
Absolutely. Going back to the moon, I just learned from Tommy Dome, if I'm wrong, we blame it on Tommy.
Yeah, I love this.
But actually the craters, the names of them on the moon, named after Jesuit priests.
This is true.
I'm going to fact check it after. If it's not, I'll erase it.
I'd like every one of you to fact check this and email Tommy. And if he's wrong on even one of them. Okay. I want us all to email Tommy. Thank you.
Yeah, but there is something spectacular about it. One of my favorite images, of course, is Our Lady of Guadalupe, who's standing on the moon. And then her beautiful cloak has, is it 46, I think, stars on it?
When details aren't really good with me.
Right. So don't quote. Email. No, it's just that beautiful image where she's standing on that moon and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. I also think there's something to be said that without a certain eyeglasses, right, without a certain way of seeing, you can't actually see it. So without certain glasses that help you see a certain way, you actually can't see the moon in front of the sun. You won't miss out. What kind of eclipse?
Total.
Yeah. Of the heart. Oh, no. So like without that, so there's a real sense like there's some mysteries in our life that without being given a certain way to see, We can't participate in the wonder and awe of it all. Think of an unbeliever going to a Catholic mass. That looks like bread to them. Okay, fine. Or think about some people who have just been so jaded and hearted, and they hear about someone who's, I don't know, overcome an addiction for many years, or a couple that was reconciled after hardships. Someone's like, yeah, great, that happens. But if you have the right perspective, you have the right quote unquote glasses of faith, you can see these realities that are in this world with such wonder and awe that, no, that's the work of God among us, reconciliation or transubstantiation of the Eucharist or repentant sinners coming out of confession or the poor being served and cared about or people learning to carve out time to be alone with God. These are the movements of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I mean, to be able to see that, people can just miss it or they can't even bear to look at it because it would challenge their worldview too much. And so we all sometimes need something like eclipse glasses, what called the vision of faith, to really help us enter into some of the beauties that are already around us, but maybe we miss them.
Absolutely. So this all sounds amazing, grand, spectacular, magnificent. What happens if it's cloudy on April 8th here in Cleveland? And what happens if somebody can't make it out to Cleveland or within the path of totality who can't experience this eclipse?
Yeah, you mean like what if it's just Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cloudy and gray?
Exactly.
So if that happens, I think it's important to feel the little disappointment that you may feel. So there's a little excitement and fervor, and there's going to be a little letdown if that happens. Now, hopefully you don't turn into Sylvia Plath and write dark poetry in the end of the world. I mean, I hope you don't have that much trust and excitement about this thing. But it's important to recognize that little downward movement of the heart because it lets you know that hope and desire is meant for fulfillment. And so if that happens, it's like, oh, this kind of stinks. It's still going to get dark, by the way. So you'll still experience that component of it. But if that happens, maybe you did get together with someone and you get to share that. It's a joke that misery loves company. I don't know that that's true because when I'm miserable, I don't want anyone around me, right? But there is something about company can alleviate misery. You ever been a sad day and a good friend comes over and it's like, they just lighten your spirits. You don't even have to talk about the thing. It's just things just get better because of a good friend. So there's still a sense if you're getting together with people on that day, there could be the joy of being together. And also if you can't get out, maybe you have to work inside or maybe you have something going on. It's like, you can't do it. It's also not God, all right? It's also, to be honest, there is quite literally an infinitely more impressive miracle that happens at every Mass and at every confessional and all the anointings of the sick. And at last couple of weeks ago at our Easter vigil, when 12 people were brought into the church here and nearby parishes, there was 15, another parish had 30 something. The fact that men and women are wanting to be transformed to become a Catholic in this world, those are greater miracles than the lining up mathematically, scientifically through time and everything of the laws of the moon and the sun and all this. I mean, those are interesting and cool because they don't happen that often, but God acting in our world and among our church and through our church, that's way more exciting. So if you can't get out there, maybe it's just a time to say, have I lost my childlike wonder and awe? And to ask the Lord, give me the excitement of a child to see our Heavenly Father at work so that I can rejoice in all that is good and really fight against anything that's bad.
Yeah. And maybe even some spiritual glasses to help you see.
Nice. Yes.
And the childlike would just be the little windshield wipers over the glasses.
Like to cleaning them off.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, on this podcast, you guys can't see us because you can only hear us. But if you know anything about Lisa, she has outfits that coincide with nearly everything going on. She has a black button-down shirt on with some blue pinstripe. And then on the top, shoulders parts, there's embroidered little planets and atoms and stars. She's got all sorts of things. She's literally like a walking NASA advertisement right now. And so, do you have a moon and stars in your necklace too?
I do.
Moons and stars. So she really, for an audio experience, she really got ready visually for all of you, just so
you're
know.
You're welcome. And silver shoes.
Oh, and silver shoes. Might be like moon shoes. Yeah. I think Michael Jackson wore those at one point. What else? Final comments for you. What will you do for the eclipse?
Well, I will be here.
Okay.
And I did purchase my little glasses, so I will step outside. Actually, my family was in the path of totality in Texas when their last eclipse happened. And the coolest part was the shadows, the way that they were casted. It looked out of this world. And that was the coolest part. The shadows. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So share this podcast with people, so that they can maybe have a little moment of connecting the dots between what they do on Sundays and their prayer life and what's happening around us. And All of you are welcome to the parking lot here at St. Basil's to watch if you like. And otherwise, please just make sure you have glasses, you're safe, and just be prepared for all the crowds, all right? So with that said, we thank you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
We hope you enjoyed this audio from our parish. You can find other homilies, talks, and interviews at our website, basilthegreat.org, or by subscribing to this podcast in your favorite app. Just search for St. Basil Catholic Church, Brecksville. St. Basil the Great, pray for us.